Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and we are continuing on in a message we began this week, God's Call to His Church. And I'm seeing greater and greater richness in this book of the Bible, the book of Nehemiah, than I've ever seen before. I see such tremendous application for the hours in which we are living. The things that we as Americans are facing, the things that the body of Christ is experiencing. And it's a time to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And there are wonderful lessons that we can learn from the book of Nehemiah, his character, his actions. As what we've looked at thus far, as we just read the opening verses of that first chapter, now we're in chapter 2, is that he got word of the condition of his brethren, the people who were already in Jerusalem, and they were a reproach, they were afflicted, the walls were broken down, and the gates were burned, and they were in a humiliating and dangerous position in terms of the people that were surrounding them. And so he grieved, probably, and fasted, prayed, waited on God for about 4 months, and as he prayed and waited on God, and this is the application that's so important to us, as we seek to serve God, and I'm not just speaking to those who are in fivefold ministry, I'm speaking to every one of you that are listening. You have a purpose, you have a mission that God wants you to accomplish, whatever it may be. So often we think that to do a work for God, it's got to be public ministry or some great grandiose plan, and yet some of the greatest work that is being accomplished is done very quietly, unnoticed, maybe even in secret. There's a work that God, some of the most significant work, I've always believed this, are by those whose nobody knows about. They're great heroes in the body of Christ. They're heroes of the faith. We just don't know about them now. I think we'll get to rehearse their wonderful stories when we're all together with the Lord. But we have to recognize, and that's my burden, is to make you understand and realize, no matter who you are, what your station in life, or what season in your life. Some of you may be up in years, and you might, you know, with the effects of age, you know, the last thing to be redeemed is our body. We don't have the physical vitality or the health or the stamina, so we think basically we're of no use. And that's, of course, you know, in America, it's just it's all about the young, it's all about strength, it's all about looks, it's all about position. You know, basically, we're a culture that does not, as a general rule, honor our elderly, like the Native Americans or the Japanese. There's an honoring of those who have lived physically a number of years. And so, regardless of our station in life, if we belong to the Lord, He has a plan for us. So, as we've been sharing, Nehemiah was, as he waited on God, he was discovering that God had a plan and purpose for him. And we could learn so many wonderful things by what he did. He prayed, and then he was a man of action. So where we left off yesterday was chapter 2, and he was saddened before the king because he was the king's cupbearer. That was a very significant position, and he got really afraid. He got really scared because he said, you know, you shouldn't be sad in the presence of a king. And the king was obviously quite discerning, and he said, "You're not sick. What's going on? There's nothing but sorrow of heart." He nailed him. So he, in verse 4, he made the king ask him, "What do you want?" And he prayed before he opened his mouth. And this is, let's go on now, verse 5. "I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? Very businesslike, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send thee, and I set him a time. And because he's really doing well so far, then he gets really bold, and he says, Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And he goes on, a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. Listen to this. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. My goodness sakes. So that time of waiting on God was amazing. Sorrow was not permitted in the king's presence. It could have cost him his position or maybe even his life. That's why he was afraid. So when our heart is melted before God for others, when we are burdened for others, God will then deal with our potential adversaries or the hindrances or the doors that need to be opened. He will melt the hearts of others toward us and make the way plain. Nehemiah absolutely was in the will of God. And when God gives, he gives abundantly. So what do we see here? This is wild. The king gives permission for him to go to Judah. I mean, that meant a lot to the king. Obviously, if Nehemiah was in a position of trust as the cupbearer, because why did they do that? You know, kings were always being poisoned. There was always assassination attempts. So he had to find another cupbearer for this interim period of time. So look what happens. The king gives him permission to go to Judah. He is appointed as the governor. He grants him a limited leave of absence. Letters are sent to the governors of the promise beyond the river. And then a specific order and notice is given to Asaph, who's keeper of the king's forest, ordering a supply of timber for the gates and walls and house for Nehemiah himself to live in while he's there. And you know what else? He provided an escort. Nehemiah got above and beyond his request. Isn't that true? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Praise God. And so we see that he was very specific in his requests, and God granted those requests. So our next focus is to look at the hindrances that will come to any spiritual work that we undertake for the Lord. How do we overcome them? And it is a time for, you know, personal valor and courage. And so I want to share with you not just interesting facts about the man Nehemiah that we can learn from the passages of Scripture we're looking at, but when we say, whatever it is, I will arise and build, then when Satan gets wind of it, he says, I will arise and oppose. So at any point, have you noticed, I remember when I first came to the Lord, and that's true for many that are saved, it's a wonderful honeymoon time. Things are just glorious. You're just, you know, floating on air, and it's a whole new world. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But then after a certain amount of time passes, then the enemy jumps on full force. It's a time of warfare. It's a time to begin applying what hopefully you've already learned as a new Christian, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We learn some things about spiritual warfare, and then God allows the fact that we must then learn those things, the lessons we've learned, and put them to practice. And so let's take a look for a moment at Nehemiah the man, a personal look at him, if you will. He was single-minded to the work that God calls him to do. And his personality, as revealed by his writings, portray him as an attractive person. He appears as a gifted and accomplished man of action, well-versed in the ways of the world. He was very specific. You know, when the king asked, what do you want? He had it all figured out well in advance. He was well-equipped to meet difficult situations. His very position as a cupbearer is significant. That was a position of trust. We see also that he was deeply religious, he was strong, he was generous, as you read the book of Nehemiah. He was fervently patriotic, he was zealous for the Lord's cause, and strikingly forceful. But more than any of these personal traits, he had the call of God on his life. And obviously, his work was very important to the very preservation of the Jewish nation in terms of their faith in God and reestablishment of Israel as a nation. He was building the walls of Jerusalem. So, all right, we see that God gives him more than he asked for. And let me just read verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, all that was going on, it grieved them exceedingly. There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Now let me read verses 11 through 16. So the journey is accomplished. I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Listen, he doesn't just open his mouth. He says, I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. See, there was wisdom there. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night. He surveyed, basically, the gate of the valley, even before the dragon wall to the dung port, viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof, which were consumed with fire. Verse 15, then I went up in the night by the brook, viewed the wall, turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. He kept his own counsel. He was exhibiting wisdom. And so often when God gives us a task to do, it is well to wait upon the Lord. Ask the Lord for wisdom, for discernment, count the cost, see what he is asking you to do. There's tremendous insight in waiting upon God as far as assuring victory for the work or whatever task it is that he has called you to do. Well, there's a lot more to share. He's just got back to Jerusalem, and we'll find what else he encounters. I hope you can be with me tomorrow as we continue on. I love you and pray for you, and until tomorrow, until that time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.